kind of tossed around a few things relative to what I was going to teach. And I had, from the Kentucky conference that we had there, I had a number of positive responses by people coming up to me and making comment on the subject matter that I covered. And then coming here yesterday and listening what Paul was doing lined up a lot of what I did in Kentucky. However, the scope of it all is so large, it wasn't the exact topics, but it was still in the same subject matter. And so I thought, since he's kind of covering that to a degree in his teaching format, that I'd do basically what I did in Kentucky. So all you guys that were in Kentucky, you can go get you some cake and coffee. I'm going to go open to and someone's going to go, Genesis! You know, like, I remember that. So anyhow. But, one time I told Brother Moore, I had just gotten started preaching, and you know, you just sometimes reach a point, you think with this big old book, it's just endless messages there, but you, as a preacher, you reach a point where you go, you don't really know what to preach on. I told Brother Moore, I said, Brother Moore, I just, it's like I don't know what to preach on anymore. I mean, I know there's a lot there. He goes, Mark, I said, yeah. He goes, just preach on what you preached before. They never listen. So I was like, good idea. So I get my old notebooks, go back over it. And, boy, that was the best message I ever heard. Well, I preached it 6 months ago. Yeah, we had added on to our church building, and it was pre-existing. It wasn't pre-existing, but we built this particular building, and it was smallish because we were just getting, you know, our church legs under us at the time. And we had these old chairs that went way back, that were plastic, a hard plastic. And, I mean, they suffice for just sitting. So we built an addition, you know, our church part, and made that the fellowship hall. And so moving into this new building, you know, it's like, well, let's get these new chairs, right? And so we looked through it all, and there's a company in California. They're similar to this, and they interlock. And also, I tell people this story that when we contacted them, you know, they say, you know, well, what are you looking for? And so, you know, there's a model number and the color. You select all that. And they go, well, how many do you need? And I tell them that, well, we sleep about 75. Because it's like, there, one more story. There's a nurse that attends our church, right? And she's a, and I can't ever say this, help me, Dan. She's a anesthetist. Thank you. So, puts people to dodo land for surgery, right? So when she's there, I always say that we, her and I have a bet as to who can put people to sleep the fastest. Her with her schooling and mine with basically nothing. Anyhow, confusion about the Bible is paramount today. It's just going to grow. And I don't mean to say that to discourage anybody. What I want to do is encourage you, because even though that is going to grow, the fact of the matter is there are people out there, howdy, there are people out there that do want to know the truth. They do want to hear the truth. And it's our responsibility to go out there and find these people. And so we're going to just keep on keeping on. And I want to cover where a lot of the confusion stems from. Obviously, that's such a broad-based subject matter, it could go on for years. But I do want to talk about a few things here. For instance, one of the things that exists in the confusion is back there in Exodus chapter 20, the Lord gave Moses the law. Now, when he gave Moses the law, there's absolutely no indication in your Bible throughout the entire time from the point that the law was given all the way through, and I'm going to go further and show you this, that there would be any discontinuing of the law. In other words, none of the prophets read the law of Moses and said, oh, well, this is going to end tomorrow or next week, because there's no indication of it. It was a law given, and it was established to go on. to keep going on. As a matter of fact, the priesthood there in Exodus chapter 40, Paul, the Lord gave to Moses to establish the priesthood through Aaron and his sons. And it was to be a continual priesthood. It was, matter of fact, described as everlasting. Well, you don't draw a conclusion back there, if you're a Jew that's under the law, that any of this is going to end. It is passed down traditionally that this thing was given to Moses, the greatest prophet ever there was, and it was just going to carry on. So we can fast forward this and look in Matthew when the Lord came in Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, look in verse 17. He says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled." Well, he gave you a little inside look as to the passing of the law. And he says in verse 18, "Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law." So he's establishing the fact that the law, there in Matthew chapter 5, is established till heaven and earth pass. Well, we know that heaven and earth has not passed, and so we know the law continued on. So then, we'll come to the cross of Jesus Christ. He was crucified, buried, and then he rose up and met with the apostles and had some teaching time with them and upbraided them for their unbelief, things of that nature. In so doing, look in Matthew chapter 28. Look in Matthew chapter 28. After his resurrection, look in verse, we'll start in verse 16. Matthew 28, 16. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Now watch. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Well, they're to be teachers, right? "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. And so they're to be teachers, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Well, I can tell you what he didn't command them in his ministry here. He did not command them to tell people that the law is done away with. He never said that. Matter of fact, just the opposite is what we read in Matthew chapter 5, that the law shall not be done away with till heaven and earth is passed. Sometime way off the board, I don't know exactly that time frame, because we're in a dispensation now, which we'll cover in just a minute. So the law's in place, and they knew that. So when they go forward from here, they know the law's in place. And many churches, this is where confusion comes in. Many of you have probably attended a church that if they had this board drawn up like this, they would have done this. Law. And then other side of the cross, grace. And that's how they split it up. Well, the truth of the matter is, it would be law, and on the other side of the cross, it would be law also. Because the law continued on. It went on. There was nothing that was stopping it. It was an ongoing, everlasting law until that point in time of heaven and earth passing. I want you to notice something else that was given. Look back in Genesis. And look in Genesis chapter 17. In Genesis chapter 17... look in verse 9. "And God said to Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee, in their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, and every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house, or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And so we see that God is establishing the covenant of circumcision with Abraham here. And he talks to him and says, this is for you, Abraham, and your seed. And then it has a provision there that if an individual is born in your house, or a stranger that is bought with money, the male in that family or in under your roof would have to be circumcised. But the covenant was established with Abraham and his seed. Now, at the end of verse 13, he says, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for 1,000 years, 500 years, an everlasting covenant. So I know back in Genesis 17, there was a covenant established there with Abraham, and that covenant of circumcision was everlasting. Well, Abraham didn't hear that covenant there and go, well, gee, I wonder when this is going to end. That would never come up in his mind when it said it's an everlasting covenant. That never entered his mind. The seed of Abraham was taught that our father Abraham was given this covenant of circumcision, and they knew that it was an everlasting covenant. And so, generation to generation to generation. None of the prophets of old ever prophesied and said, oh, the law is done away with. Oh, the covenant of circumcision is done away with. Why would they ever come up with that? They wouldn't. They wouldn't. It was going on and on and on into whatever foreseeable future there was there. It was to just continue on. Now, this is where the problem comes in. The refusal of preachers to not rightly divide the word of truth. And I know that many people have gotten to a point of criticizing us grace preachers by using the phrase of rightly dividing the word of truth many times in their messages and in their studies. Well, there's a reason why we do it. I mean, we don't do it because it's healthy. We don't do it because it makes us rich or anything like that. We do it because it is the way to handle God's Word. And if you don't handle God's Word rightly divided, you're going to be confused. I tell you, there's not anybody that comes to our church out of the religious system that understands this book rightly divided. They don't know it because they're not taught it. And they're confused. How many people have you run across in your life that you've talked about salvation? And it goes like this, because I've run across plenty. Are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. What do you mean you hope so? Well, I'm trying. Well, what do you mean you're trying? Well, I'm trying to keep the Ten Commandments. Isn't that the big deal today? Religion promotes Ten Commandments. By the way, starting in Exodus 20, yeah, there were 10. Then about 650 followed. There are over 600 commands and statutes and ordinances in this law that was given. It went on and on. I mean, it is a book of law. But religion emphasizes 10 commands. And I've done this. I have a friend that I worked with who told me those exact words. Keep the 10 commandments. I said, tell me the 10 commandments. They always get the murder down. I mean, shouldn't murder. And I'm thinking, Moses was a murderer. David was a murderer. Paul was a murderer. At one time, I thought to be a preacher, I had to murder somebody. I mean, it's like, hey, come and I want a badge too. I'm in this thing of grace, let me hurt somebody. And here's Moses who killed the Egyptian, and he's getting thou shalt not murder. What'd that do to Moses, huh? Well, he was into blood sacrifices, trust me. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt well, there's some more, I'm working on them. And that's about how it goes. And even if you knew them, every one, God would still never grant you access into heaven because you can name them. Because just naming them doesn't mean you can keep them. And from the giving of the law in Exodus 20 to the cross of Christ is roughly about 1600 years. And in that time frame, not one person ever kept the law without offending in one point of it all, of it. So consequently, the only one that ever kept it was the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only one. So what difference does it make if you could even name 10 commandments? You couldn't keep them. So where do you go from there? You can't offer a blood sacrifice. That's, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. That's done away with. So anyhow, the confusion today is brought in by the law or some form of religious law. Where do they get it? They'll get it out of the Bible. They get it out of the Bible that's not rightly divided. And so, consequently, confusion. I mean, look, as a kid, I understood about those things. I was like, no, I shouldn't do this, that, and the other. But the sinful nature is that you do it, you know. Maybe me, not you. I don't know. I'm just saying. Maybe that's just a Mark problem. But let's look at a couple things. Look in Galatians. Now, if you recall, go to Galatians chapter 6. If you recall that covenant of circumcision back there, there was a requirement of every male child of the seed of Abraham to be circumcised. This was an everlasting covenant. The one that did not get circumcised was cut off from among his people. Well, when you get cut off from among your people, you're cut off from the covenants and the sacrifices for your sins. Do you know what the end result of that is? It's someone going off and dying the death of a lost person. So when they got cut off, that was a serious thing. It's not go into time out. It's being cut off. Jesus Christ is described being cut off from the living. What happened to him? He was put to death. And so consequently, circumcision to those Jews became a tradition and a very dutiful responsibility in keeping that covenant that was given to their father Abraham to keep. And they knew the consequences of it. They understood the consequences of it. So, for Paul to come up and say what we're about to read should have been shocking. I mean, this should just blow it out the water. In Galatians chapter 6, he says in verse 15, Galatians 6, verse 15, he says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." Now imagine Paul going into a synagogue where the Jews are gathered and talking to those Jews about his ministry and making the comment, basically that verse says, if you don't get circumcised, you're in no better standing with God or in no worse standing. In other words, circumcision has become no